If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. We'll get to that in a few moments. First, I want to pray over this. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you now, Father, anoint my lips that what I speak is of you. Anoint me for your service, Lord. Let the Spirit of God be upon me, that what I speak is pleasing to you and edifying for this body. We ask you, Lord, guide everything which is spoken and touch every heart, that you are glorified through it and changes come about. We praise you and thank you. Amen. I was watching a PBS special the other night, and it was called Frontier House. I don't know if any of you have ever seen this special. It's where they take modern-day 21st century people out into the Montana frontier, and they say, go back to 1883. The first thing they had to do is they had to explain the whole purpose behind it, is they wanted them to relive the time of the land grants back in the 1800s, back when they basically went in during the Homestead Act, and you could, excuse me, if you were a male, you could go in and sign for a tract of land, 160 acres, and if you could, function and make a homestead of that land, and you could exist there for 5 years, at the end of that five-year period, it was yours. Well, the good thing is, with these folks, is they only had to make them do it for 5 months. But when they first came, it was so interesting seeing the different walks of life. You had a couple with their children from Tennessee. You had a couple that with four children that came out of California, and he owned his own company, was quite successful, and had all the toys of the wealthy. And then you had a young man from Baltimore. And he was a young man who was about to be married. So he had to build a cabin for his new wife. And this was not fake. I mean, this was the real thing. Here his wife was giving up her social work job in Baltimore to come out and live on the frontier. Everything they did had to be period correct. So the first thing they did was they said, okay, we're going to tell you how it used to be. And they went and they explained to them the customs. They explained to them the things that they had to do in the 1800s just to survive. They had to go about instructing them that all your modern contraband has to go. That the items, the modern eyeglasses, they had to go. And yes, deodorant. Yeah, I know. And you know what the worst thing? They could not take Twinkies with them. If they had, they'd probably still be around. But the fact is, and I meant the ones from the 1800s would probably still be around with as much preservatives. But they had to teach them how things were during that time period. Upon their arrival into a town that was set up as a frontier village, they taught them certain skills that they would need. For some, they had never picked up a gun in their life, so they taught them how to shoot a gun. It wasn't so much for hunting, because during that time they were there, they were not allowed to hunt. It was not hunting season in Montana, so they would not let them break the laws. We know for a fact that if you were a homesteader during that time period, there were no laws on hunting. You go out and you hunt for food. It was interesting seeing the different people. one man who was very upset the fact that they could not hunt their own food, and how he wanted to train his son to hunt, and he wanted to teach his son these skills. And the other people were saying, what's the big deal? Get over it already. You made your point. Let it go. You know, the state's not going to change their opinion because of what you want. So it was interesting watching the interaction of people. You know, we are so different. And you sit there, and sometimes I think God looks down on us and says, really? Tim, are you really upset about this? What's wrong with you, boy? Don't you have better things to worry about? But that's the way it was. To one person, it was a major issue. To another person, it was no issue at all. The women. You know what? What was their issue? Their issue was they didn't have shampoo. They had to use soap. Oh, my hair is always greasy. It's so dirty. It's filthy. Oh, I can't wear my makeup. You know, there were so many things that it was major issues to them. But after they went through, oh, women, sorry, ladies. They also taught you how to properly dress like a frontier woman, putting on 4 layers of clothing. Yeah, yeah. And it was so interesting because they sat there and one of the girls said, well, I'm putting on my makeup. And she said, honey, are you planning on working in a bordello? And she said, a what? She said, a house of ill repute. A what? She said, are you going to be a prostitute? Well, no. She said, that's the only ones who wore it during that time frame. Ouch. I look around here. I don't see many women without makeup. Thank God. Because you saw them when they came in and attracted people. Then you saw them wake up the next day with no makeup and you went, whoo. Yeah. Okay. Guys were no better. Wake up the next day, hair all sticking up. The only difference is we're guys. We don't care. Okay, whatever. That's good enough. Yeah. For some, it was less. But it was so interesting because of the fact they took them out of their comfort zone. Before we go any further, God's going to take us out of our comfort zone in 2013, folks. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to be pushed outside of our comfort zone. Nothing is accomplished when you're sitting at home. You say, well, yeah, I do a lot when I'm sitting. No. Just listen to the point. This is our home. If we constantly sit in our pews, come in on Sunday and do nothing else, twiddle our thumbs, nothing is accomplished. Yes, we're blessed, but what about those out there who don't know Christ yet? We're going to be pushed outside of our comfort zone. Now, you may be asking, what does all this have to do with church? Nothing and everything. These folks had to lay aside things of the past or the future. We have to do the same thing. When we accept Jesus Christ, we lay aside the things of the past. Just as we heard Cheryl saying. In Hebrews 12 and 1, it gives us an example of that. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Isn't it interesting that the things that we thought were okay before we accepted Jesus Christ suddenly become not okay? You know what? My spiritual grandmother, I've told you this before, and even in here. My spiritual grandmother actually helped me to understand. Folks, if you smoke, I'm not tearing you down. Please understand that. I'm saying for me. She said, son, do you understand why you need to quit smoking? I said, because it's destroying the temple of God. She said, well, that's true, but besides that. I said, well, because I could use that money to give it to the church and to help people. And she said, well, that's true too, but that's not it. And I went through all my reasons why I needed to quit smoking. And then she finally said, baby, it's because it destroys your testimony. Again, hear me out. I'm not tearing you down. I'm not saying you're less of a Christian because you smoke. It has nothing to do with that. We're talking about Tim Cooper. She explained to me that I was telling everybody because I was so excited that Christ made me this new creation. And she said, I just have to ask you, when you're telling people, boy, God has really delivered me from the things of my past, and He's really helped me to get over those things that bound me, she said, do people really hear you? And it touched something in my spirit. Because that was something that held me for so long. And it made me realize it was something in the past that was destroying my testimony of what God had truly delivered me from. And it made me realize that I was still trying to hang on to that thing of the past. When God was saying, but you don't understand what I've got in store for you. It's so much more than that. So I prayed. And I told you, throw them out the window, stop at the next door. I struggled with it. Jody told God, Lord, you want me to quit? Take it away from me. Make it like I never had them. She laid them down, that was it. Not me. I quit for 2 weeks and started back up again. I struggled. And you know, after I quit for that 2 weeks and I started back again, when I did start to quit again, it was the most difficult thing I thought I'd ever going to have to go through. Oh, my goodness. It's like God said, well, I delivered you the first time, son. So you think I'm going to make it easy for you this time? I'm with you, but you're going to have to struggle through it a little bit to make it worthwhile. But you know what? I decided, no, I'm not going to do this. I am not going to give in to this desire. You have delivered me from it. I'm going to get the victory over it. So I prayed and I fasted and I sought God's face. They had a men's fellowship meeting, a breakfast. And I was new to the church still. And they invited me to come to it. And I sat and I drank a cup of coffee. And I just sat there and they kept trying to shove food in my face. And I said, no, I'm good. Finally, one of the guys walked up and he said, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you fasting? And I said, yeah. He said, why? I said, why? He said, no, I'm not saying it's wrong. We want to know why so we can pray for you. I said, I want to give up these stinking cigarettes. And they gathered around and they prayed for me. And I felt God's power on me. I felt the strength of God. And that's why I say, Brandon needs our prayer. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden I never had a desire anymore. My problem was the 6 inches between my ears. My problem was that Tim Cooper still wanted, okay, I know I got a big head. All right, more in that. But my problem was I still wanted it here. I had already gone past that 3-day period where the physical desire is gone. It's all up here now. So I struggled with it and struggled with it. But I said, I know I can do this with God's help. I can do this. And there was a little preacher at a country church in the next town over, and I went to that. And that preacher, and I've told this story before, and I'm sorry to repeat it, but maybe somebody who is here or listening on the internet may need this. But that man sat there, and he started preaching, and he said, God has given somebody the victory over something in their life right now. Well, there was about 5 or 6 folks from our church who went with us. Every one of them knew that he was talking about me. Except me. I didn't know it. But when they gave that altar call, I stepped over the pew in front of me. Don't even remember that, but literally went right over the top of it to get to that altar. And that night, God delivered me from cigarettes. Now, old Slewfoot's good, because the next day when I was at work, everybody's like, hey, Coop, let's go take a cigarette break. Yeah, no, I'm good. What? Hey, man, you got a cigarette? No, I don't. Come on, I got something, let's go. No, I'm good. And it never failed. He starts showing you things like, well, now, you know, smokers, they get more breaks than people who don't smoke. People who don't smoke, you know, they go out a couple times. That's just not right. People who smoke, they go out 5-6 times a day, you know. So he tried using that. I said, well, guess what? I'll go out there and I'll talk to them about God. Well, he quit using that because he didn't like that a bit. But the fact is, I struggled with it, but I didn't, because I knew that God had delivered me from it. I received that victory, and I accepted it. And that was the one thing for Tim Cooper that was really holding him back. Now, you know what? Folks, I can tell you right now, there's nothing I hated worse than somebody coming up and sticking their finger in my face saying, you need to quit smoking. Get off me. You know what? God wanted me to quit smoking. He had to put it in me, and he did. And I thank him for doing that, because it has helped my testimony. Now, don't misunderstand. I've got a laundry list of things I still need to clean my life up of. But it's one thing at a time. I thank God for doing that, because that was something that was ensnaring me. It was something that was holding me back. And it's talking about, you know, run with endurance that race that is set before us. Oh, yeah, that would have been real good. And that was at the first 50 yards, you know. So, you know, I couldn't do it. These people, let's change back. These people who went out into the Montana prairie in the frontier, they kind of failed to hit the mark just like we so often do. They weren't there very long, and all of a sudden, the girls started coming up with mascara on. Let's see, that wasn't invented for another 100 years, so really? Okay, maybe I exaggerate on the time frame, but it was much, much later. So they were smuggling mascara in. Well, it didn't take long for word to get around. I mean, we're talking an area of about, you know, maybe a 4-mile area there where the three houses were after they had constructed them. And it didn't take long for word to get around. And a town meeting was called. Well, they confessed that they had brought those in, and they went out and they buried them. And then the next week, the mother got rid of her lipstick. You heard that right. Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine that? Girls, I'm so ashamed of you. It's just wrong. But the fact is, Mama still had it in her hidden place too. We all try to hide things from God, but guess what? He knows exactly where it is. He knows what it is. He's just waiting for us to come clean. Sometimes he will use others to come and call us out on our sin or wrongdoing or something that he knows is going to lead us down the wrong road. It may not be that it's sin, but he knows it'll ultimately lead to sin. And he may bring someone into your life to say, hey, that's not where you want to go. I noticed that you're looking at so-and-so just a little too long. Don't go down that road. What do we do? Bull up? There ain't nothing going on. Hey, I noticed you got a new car, but you're still working at the same place. Did you get a raise? That's none of your business. Then you find out 6 months later they're pilfering money from somewhere. God will do things And you can believe this. Here's a great thing. Oh, Slewfoot, he's going to entice you to do something that's wrong in God's eyes, and then he's going to make sure that the world knows about it. But see, there's a difference. He's doing it to destroy you. God allows it so that you can be gained and brought back into the kingdom, brought back into the fold. We need to realize that when we sin, it doesn't just affect us. In this community, that sin affected the whole community. That makeup. You think, makeup? What's the big deal about that? Well, it was one thing that could have actually ruined the entire experiment, the whole project. But they came and they confessed and they got rid of that contraband. And a week later, Mom got rid of her lipstick. And so things were kind of back on track. But here's the thing about it. Libby, can I pick on you?
Yeah, sure.
It's okay.
All right.
You know, Libby, I really trusted you. And you know, we all went through the same training. And they told us not to bring that stuff in. And you brought it in anyway. You know, I should have known when you were carrying that bag and everything was rattling in there that that was makeup. Especially the fact that it was a, you know, Avon bag. So, but I'm having a real hard time trusting you now. Okay, and that was what happened. It's the people of the community who were supposed to bond and pull together became very distrustful of one another. When we sin as Christians, it not only affects us, it affects our children, our spouse, it affects those who are watching us to see what we do. My old pastor always used to say, integrity is putting your cart back in the Walmart parking lot. You know what? It's a pet peeve, it really is, but it drives me crazy. On a windy day, when you see somebody walk out to the South 40 of the parking lot, they unload their cart, put it in their car, get in their car, and drive off. And then there goes the cart blowing across the parking lot, bouncing off of cars. Well, that's not really a sign of integrity. Really? What if it's your car that's getting dinged? What is integrity? Is it not doing the right thing when nobody else is looking? It's doing the right thing when nobody else is watching. So what we do ultimately affects everyone around us. Even those we don't know who they are. Because they're watching us. You proclaim to be a Christian. And that little white lie might as well be death. Might as well be murder. Because guess what? You killed your testimony in their eyes. So what do you do when that happens? You come back and you repent and you ask forgiveness. And if you notice that someone starts treating you different after you do something wrong, you may even want to just go, you know what? Can I talk to you? Sure, go ahead. Thank you. You know what? I did something really wrong the other day. I did something I knew I shouldn't have done. You know, it really, as a Christian, I shouldn't have done it. And I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I did. And I repented and I asked God's forgiveness. And you know what? It really bothers me that people around me maybe saw that and it really ruined my testimony. And I know we work together and we don't talk much, but you know, if my actions did something to maybe affect the way you feel about it, I ask your forgiveness. Most people are going to sit there and go, it's okay, that's fine. But you know what? By going to them and opening that avenue, they're going to say, hold it, there's something different about this guy. Yeah, he messed up, but guess what? He actually confessed it to me, and man, look at me. He must really be into this Christian stuff. He must really mean it. Our sin will not go unnoticed. Not by those around us. And even most of all, not by our Heavenly Father. God doesn't wink. Oh, Lord, I messed up again. That's okay, Tim. It's all right. You're just a mess. I know. It's all right. It's not all right. Wink, wink. No. That's not the way God operates. If God ignores our sin, then he has to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize. Say, well, I'm not as bad as them. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. And it's true. Well, it's just a little white lie. There is no little white lie. Lie, L-I-E, three. Sin, S-I-N. Okay, I'm stretching it there, but you get the point. A lie is a lie. And it is sin. And the little things we do that we know affect our integrity, why would you do that? Because ultimately, whether it's a sin or not, it's affecting your decision to follow Christ. I know that God says I should do it this way, but I really want that. No. What happens when we accept Christ? We change. We become a new creation. I watched on this show where these people actually started to change. You took spoiled little brats who had been given everything they ever wanted because mommy and daddy were filthy rich, and all of a sudden they had to get out and work in the dirt. And guess what? It wasn't fun work. Shoes that were ill-fitted because they had to wear the clothing of the time. You had to wear the clothes of the time. And hot clothes that were made out of wool in summertime. Yeah. But you know what? You wore what you had. And they began to turn into new creations. One little girl found out she absolutely loved animals. She'd never been around them. And the animals loved her. She could go out to milk a cow and say, "Come here, Betsy." And the cow would walk up and go like... That's a visual y'all going to stick with a long time, I know. They had a pig. And they called the pig by name, and the pig would come up, yeah. She just had a way with animals. Are you okay? She's going to go home, "Dear Lord, please get that image out of my mind." Do not send me your psychiatry bills because of this. But these children, and the adults as well, were transformed from self-serving, petty individuals who only cared about themselves to people who actually started to reach out to others in the community. They started to begin to do things for other people. Even though, yes, they may have had things that they still needed to do, they saw a greater need over here. The young man who was getting married. You know, they were all building cabins. I think one family was fortunate enough that they had a cabin already built because they put them in different scenarios. One of them already had a cabin built. The other one, it was only started. The third gentleman who was single and getting ready to be married, he had nothing. So he had to start from scratch. And they took time from building their cabins to come over and help him. Why? Because he had a bride that was going to be there at a certain date. And they wanted to make sure he had a house set up. Their cabin wasn't done. Many of them slept in tents. And when I say tents, I'm not talking the nylon tents with sealed up to where no bugs can get in there. No, I'm talking open wall tents where the critters can crawl underneath, where it's hot in the daytime and cold at night. Why? Because that's how they did it. I want you to think about this. A 6x12 tent, and you had 4 children and 2 adults sleeping in it, and all your belongings. Nothing like getting closer together. Yeah, it brought them closer together. But it amazed me to watch people transform. It amazed me to see these people changing. And it reminded me of 1 John. And if you have your Bibles, turn over to 1 John. Chapter 3. Verse 17. Let's go verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God, how does the love of God abide in him? It was 1 John 3, 16 to 17. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So these people were transformed. They started to actually do things for one another because there was a need. I can't say that it was because... Is this still on good? Grab the right one. I can't say it was because they had a sudden conversion, accepting Christ. So if a heathen, someone who doesn't know Christ, can see a need and meet it, then what should we do as Christians? Should we not do the same thing? They began to focus on things that were important. You know, they didn't say, well, how many wagons can I get in my barn? They didn't have a barn. So was it important to have 3 or 4 wagons and all the horses you could get? And no. It was important to get a roof over your head. Was it important to say, well, you know what? I'm having some duck flown in. You'll catch that joke later. They were concerned about, are the chickens laying eggs? Is the garden coming in? They were concerned about the necessities. They weren't concerned about the wants. They were concerned about the needs. Well, I don't have curtains over my windows. What will I do? They were happy they had windows. Oh, wow. We actually get windows? Wow. That's going to stop the draft from coming in? They were thrilled when they actually got money accumulated that they could actually buy a stove. Oh, did I tell you? Modern day money was of no use to them. Excuse me. They were all limited to a certain budget, regardless of how many kids you had. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your wants. That's not what it says. Whatever you desire, you can have. No. He shall supply all your need. We want to read that and say needs. That isn't what it says. It says need. Need. Doesn't say needs, because we think we need a whole lot more than we really do. The families were allowed to have a $150 credit at the mercantile, the store where they get their food. They were given an initial 6-week supply of food, and after that, everything they had, everything they needed, they had to purchase from the mercantile if they didn't grow it or whatever else. Suddenly, their currency was no longer cash. Because, see, if you raised 18 chickens and they were all laying eggs and you had an excess of eggs, when you went to the mercantile, which was every 6 weeks, it was 10 miles away. You didn't jump in your car and drive 10 miles. We did jump in the car and drive 10 miles to get a gallon of milk. Guess what you did? That's how you got your milk. And if you didn't have a cow, you took your eggs over to the neighbor who did have a cow and you traded, you bartered. So the currency was no longer money. The currency were the things that you truly needed. One lady was very good at baking bread. Some of the others, not so good. They were good in other areas. So they bartered, they traded. They went for the things that they truly needed. The currency became the things of need and not want. Let's do a comparison of their currency then, during this experiment, and our currency now. You want to? No. Well, we're going to anyway. If you were lucky, you had a horse. If you were really lucky, you had a wagon. Now, we're frustrated if we don't have at least 3 cars in our driveway. Guilty as charged. Their currency was chicken and eggs. What do we say? I only use egg beaters or just the whites only. Their currency was cows and milk. Oh, I only drink 2% or skim. Theirs was fresh vegetables. Oh, I only buy organic, and it had to be twice the price of normal vegetables. Their currency were tools and the ability to use them. Our currency says, I'll hire somebody else because I don't want to take the time to learn how to do it myself. Their currency was their word, honesty, that if I tell you I'll do it, I'll do it. This is the greatest downfall of our country today. We've lost our currency in this department. Today, our word is, what they don't know won't hurt them. I'm afraid that's become the currency of our nation. What is America's currency? It used to be that all currency had either a silver stripe through the paper or a gold stripe. Silver certificate or gold certificate. That was the basis of the money. But then they took us off the gold exchange. I mean, think about it. Your coin was silver or gold. They took us off the gold and silver exchange. So we no longer had to have the money or the gold and silver in which to back up the money we printed. The coins were silver for a period of time, but they even took that away. Do you know, as cheap as our coins are today, they're still looking for ways to make it even cheaper? Truthfully, it has no value. Our only coin that has any value right now is copper, the pennies. They say for all the effort, it takes 6 to 7 cents to make a penny nowadays. No wonder they're trying to do away with them. So we've gone to an economic system that if we don't have the backing of gold or silver of which to satisfy those needs, we'll just print more money. After all, it's not like we really have anything to back it up anyway. Isn't that a lot like the word that we get from our politicians? I just say whatever they want to hear. It's not like I'm going to back it up anyway. I'll tell them what they want. Once I'm elected, it doesn't matter because I'm going to get paid for life anyway. Did you all realize that? That your politicians, your senators and congressmen, they can serve one term and they'll be paid the rest of their life. And they're not on the same retirement system we are. And they're also not on the same medical system.
Kind of makes you wonder about the fairness of the military compared to that.
Oh, well, now, hold on. Yeah. You know, we're talking military who put their lives on the line at least 20 years if you want a retirement. And there, many of them are going overseas and fighting in a war zone for, you know, in a five-year period, they may be over there three times. And they're doing all that for 50%. If they're lucky. If they're lucky. I think that's pretty fair, don't you? After all, they get that free medical care that they have to pay for. Yes, I'm a military retiree, and yes, I pay every month to keep it. And that free dental, that went away before we ever got out of the military. The only way I'm going to get free dental is if I happen to be right in front of a VA station when I get my teeth knocked out in a car accident. Then they might take me in and do something. That's a good trade-off, isn't it? Congress, four-year hitch, set up for life. Military, 20-year hitch, don't get nothing. Get a retirement check. Get decreased benefits. You get decreased benefits and you get decreased medical care. That's a blessing, right? It is. It truly is. I'm thankful for it. But when you compare it to what they're contributing compared to what we're contributing, not so great. I want him to back us up. I think Cole would let him get an earful.
My father sure already is.
And you know what, folks? I want to tell you something. I've seen people come into my office, and I'm getting off track here, but I've seen people come into my office and I'll say, thank you for your military service. Well, I was only in for 4 years. I don't care if you were in for 30 days. You volunteered to go in, and I thank you for your service. Because it is a sacrifice, not only for those members, but their families. Yes. Well, now, hold on. Don't go picking on Congress because they needed that time off. They've been working hard. What's that? Yeah, because most people would want to get involved and come up with a solution. But, hey, we could just beat that dog to death. But we're going to leave that one alone. A person's word. Remember when it used to be that a person's word was good as gold? You want to compare that now? Let's compare that now. Go ahead. Where our word was once good as gold, it's no longer good. Word currency has no value. Our politicians continue to lie, steal, cheat, and run up pay increases for themselves. They need it. It's hard having those four homes. And they do it all while our nation flounders, goes further in debt, and continues to build up debts that our great-great-grandchildren will never be able to pay off. Why? Because they're not keeping their word. And what about those few, those fearless few who say, I was voted in because I said I will not raise taxes and I will not play the game just because of it. I am going to stand on my word. What's America doing? Throw them out of office! Don't they know we're on the fiscal cliff? We were on the fiscal cliff 15 years ago. Come on, let's be honest about it. When you continue to borrow more than you bring in, it's just a matter of time. But you have a few who say no. I said I wouldn't do it, and I'm not going to do it. I don't care what party yells at me. I'm not going to do it. And we actually turn them into domestic terrorists. How dare them? Don't they know what they're doing to America? Yeah, they're showing what it takes for a person to stand and keep their word. Why were they hired? Because they said this would not happen. And they're standing on their word. Guess what? They just went up. Their word's back on the gold standard as far as I'm concerned. We need more people in politics and out of politics that when they say something, their word is good. It's worth something. Hebrews 13 and 5 reminds us, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, I don't think America is really covetous, full of covetousness, do you? Are we covetous, really? I mean, after all, we only want what we want when we want it, which is now. And we only want that because somebody else has it. We have gotten to where it's not about need. It's about want. It's about forgetting what somebody else may need. Hey, confession's good for the soul. I did it last week. I can do it now. I got a motorcycle. I got a truck. I got a little beat up old Dodge Neon. And then we just got another car to get rid of our other one. Do I really need all those? Well, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. When it's 30 degrees out there, I'm not riding a motorcycle. I'm a sissy. Okay, I'm not going to do it. The truck gets 15 miles to a gallon. I work 50 miles away. I'm probably not going to drive the truck. The car, Lord knows how long it's going to last. The new one, thank God for it. But when you get right down to it, do I need them? No, I don't. So it's a selfish thing. It's selfish. I don't care if anybody else doesn't have a car. Let them get out and get a job. Isn't that what we say? Well, you don't know their circumstances. We so often come up with justification not to look at the needs of others. And I'm guilty of it. Is anyone else? No, just me. Okay. Well, okay. Then it's just me. But you know what? How about this? You pull up to Walmart. We'll work for food. You've seen them. And you know what? That's where you have to let the Spirit of God guide you. Thank you. Because I have been at places before. There is a group down in Florida that travels back and forth between Jacksonville and Pensacola on I-10 corridor. And they stay in a motorhome. And there was four of them. And you could see them about every 3 months. And they would be in the Walmart parking lot for about 3 days, standing at the corners. Vietnam vet needs help. God bless you. Please help me. I stopped and got some food. Pulled up and I said, here, I got this for you. He says, I don't want that. I went, okay, thank you. Have a good day. Well, can't you help me? I said, I tried to, but you didn't want it. Well, then I went to work and I told the girl what happened. She said, oh, Tim, don't you know about them? And I said, what? She said, there's four of them. She said, they travel together between Pensacola and Jacksonville on the I-10 corridor. And they hit every town that has a Walmart and they stay in the parking lot in this big motorhome. And they each day they'll transfer out. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. She said, oh, no, they make a good living at it. When we were in Georgia, we saw a guy holding a sign. We'll work for food. Out of work, family needs food. So I said, okay. Let's see how this works. I walked up and I said, hey, listen. I've got a big dog pen at home, and it is full of crud. And I need it cleaned out. And he said, okay. I said, how soon can you do it? He said, I'll go right now. I said, let's go inside first. And we went in there. I said, what do your family need? He said, well, if I could get some food and, you know, some milk and cereal for my family, I would really appreciate it. So we loaded that boy up. Loaded him up. He said, I live right down the street. He says, if you'd be willing to take me down there so I can give him the food, he says, then we can go clean that dog pen. I said, I don't have a dog pen. What? I said, I just wanted to see if you were sincere. Sometimes God says, skip this one. And there's a reason for that, because they're a scam artist. It's not real. But when you get that one and he says, this is the one I want you to help, help them. You may say, well, Lord, you know, there's so many scam artists. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to then? That still small voice that says, no, this one's mine. I know his needs. And today I'm going to let you be his help. Or are you going to listen to that one that says, you know, they just saw a special on the TV that showed about all these scam artists and how they work. I told you about my pastor down there in Florida. Guy pulls up in a Lexus, still has a dealer tag on it, needing help to get back home. My pastor went, you drive a nicer car than me, I can't help you. Oh, it's like that because of what I drive? You don't know my needs. He says, I know that you've got a dealer tag on there. It's a new car. I can't help you, buddy. That's a problem with the church today. No, that was the Spirit going, hold on, you got a scammer here. What path are we on? Are we on a path where we're setting proper guidance for the next generation? Are we on a path just like our Congress where we feel like we have to have everything right now? We shouldn't have to work for anything. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. It burns me up when people come in to my office and tell me, I can't believe they only gave me 1.7% pay raise. Well, you didn't pay in anything, so what are you complaining about? You're getting 1.7%. Isn't that better than none? How's a person supposed to live on that? They're not. They're supposed to get out and get a job. That's supposed to tide you over until you can. But it's not supposed to support a good living. And then you watch them drive off in their Escalade. What? Man, they must be paying a whole lot more than I thought they were. It breaks my heart. I'm getting off soapbox, I'm sorry. Now, we can go ahead and we can look at those things and we can become callous like sometimes I do. Sometimes I have to break it off. I do. I'll come home and I'm so mad and I'm just like, oh, gosh, these people are driving me crazy. Judy would be like, go take a nap. I don't know if she prays over me while I'm sleeping. Says, Lord, knock him out. Well, I don't know what she does, but I feel better when I wake up. But it does. It gets so frustrating because you see people abusing the system and their whole goal is what you can give me. What's in it for me?
It usually involves them.
She cuts it out. That's what it is. Cut his attitude out. Yeah. But is that the path that we want to be on? Is that the path we want the next generation to be on? Or instead, we can be those religious nuts. Those religious nuts. Believing and following everything that the Bible says. Being content with what we have and thankful for it. Willing to work to support our families. Being faithful in our tithes and our offerings. And allowing ourselves to listen for that still small voice. And obeying it when we hear it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust does destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. You ready for this last part? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is your currency? Is it your wants, your desires, or your need? Your possessions, your income you earn, the things of this world that you envy what others have? Or is it the things of God? Is your currency doing what is right, not only when you're being watched, but when no one is watching, because God still is? Is your currency helping those whom you know cannot help you back, cannot return the favor? Is that your currency? Because you know, that's just stupid. People who do that, they just don't have any sense at all. Excuse me, I disagree. When you help those who cannot help themselves, you will be blessed. How many times, and I said it earlier, how many times have you helped someone because you felt the Spirit of God guiding you to do so, and you got the blessing? I can't tell you the children who got the gifts from the angel tree. You blessed lives. And you know what? I thank you all for doing it. But even more so, not because the children were blessed, but that because you are going to be blessed for it. The fact that you're willing to say, you know what, it's only money. But if this child, who is not going to have a Christmas, can get just a little joy, then it's worth it. And I want to tell you right now, you know, I told you God doesn't do the wink, wink to sin. And I know that it says you shouldn't wink in the Bible, but I think that's one time that he looks over at Jesus and goes, he's pretty good, ain't he? Write that down. They're good, yeah. Jesus would be like, yeah, he's ours. He's ours, Dad. What's your currency? Is it doing for yourself or doing for others? Listening to God. James 1 and 27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and the widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world in caring for the widows and the orphans. All right, all you who are still in here who went to the nursing home, lift your hand up. How many of them did you see cry? Because somebody cared enough to come in there. And what did they all say? Will you come back and see us again? Will you? Will you come see us again? Is it because they want more gifts? No. They just want to know somebody cares. They want someone to talk to. Well, I know them people, and they're not widows. They're not orphans. You know what? An orphan can be a lot of things. It can be a parent that's been abandoned by their children. Well, they were never married. Don't get into technicalities. Was your heart broken a little bit when you saw those people so overjoyed because of a little stocking? What happened to our visitation ministry? What happened to the nursing home visitation? That's your question. Would it be so hard for this church to give 1 hour a month to go and knock on doors and say, hello, just wondering if I can come sit with you for a minute? Yeah, I know you don't know me, I'm so-and-so. just wanted to see how you're doing, maybe see if there's anything you need. Oh, I can't afford to do that. You know what? Most of them are going to say no. And if they are, is it really a big thing? Oh, I need some hand cream. Okay. But we're blessed by it. Can we do that? Sister Laverne, can we do that? Pastor, can we do that? Can we start back a visitation ministry? Who's willing to be a part of it? I am. I am. I see a few hands going up. And I'm going to tell you something. We don't all have to be there at one time. Maybe you can skip a month. But the big thing is, let's do it. Because they're lonely. They want to know somebody cares. We get to determine in 2013 what our currency is going to be. We get to decide what we're going to do in 2013. Is our currency going to be just like it has been? Possessions? Greater debt? Ooh. Don't set up New Year's resolutions. You'll probably break them within the first week anyway. Instead, think about what legacy you want to leave behind for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. What legacy do you want to leave behind? What currency do you want to spend? Let me leave you with a quick story. In 1988, in the Winter Olympics, one of the greatest heartbreaks was a young man named Dan Jensen. Just hours before he was supposed to race in the speed skating event, he found out that his sister, who had been battling leukemia for over a year, had lost her battle. And he went out to race anyway. And in the first turn, he skidded out. His race was over. 3 days later, his second and final race, he took off and he skidded out again. All his work and effort, all those years, were for naught. For nothing. All the effort was for no effort at all. The country mourned for this young man. Many people sent letters of consolation to Dan. But according to Sports Illustrated, not long after he returned home, Jansen received a letter from a young man named Mark Arrowwood, a disabled 30-year-old from Doylestown, Pennsylvania. And Mark wrote this: "Dear Dan, I watched you on TV. I'm sorry you fell 2 times. I am in Special Olympics. I won a gold medal at Pennsylvania State Summer Olympics right after my dad died 7 years ago. Before we start the games, we have a saying that goes like this: let me win. But if I can't win, let me be brave in my attempt. I want to share one of my gold medals with you because I don't like to see you not get one. Please try again in 4 more years. Inside the envelope, Dan Jensen found a gold medal that Mark Arrowwood had won in the track and field event. Those who share their blessings are the greatest champions on earth. Goodness is greatness. And the final thought before we depart here: regret for the things we did can be tempered over time. It is the regret for the things we did not do that is inconsolable. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you and we thank you because we live in the most blessed nation in the world. Yet somehow we've gotten off track. We've forgotten the things that are truly important, the things that truly matter, and that is serving you. Father, as we prepare ourselves for the year ahead, let our currency change from dollars and cents and possessions to the currency of following the Most High God, doing your will, and helping those who can't help themselves. Help us, Lord. Help us to see, to hear, and to do those things which you desire for us to do. Let our currency be your word, Lord, and our word return to gold. We praise you and we thank you. Protect and watch over us. For those who can be here tomorrow night, Lord, we thank you. For those who can't, we ask that you bless them nonetheless, Lord. Glory to the Most High God, our Savior. And I would be remiss if I did not ask, is there anyone here who does not know Christ as their Savior, who today would like to make that profession of faith? Who today would say, you know what? I knew the Lord and I walked away, but I want to come back home. Seeing no hands, we're going to close this service out. Thank you all for being here. God bless you. I pray that you have a new view of what God expects for you in 2013. God bless each and every one of you. Be safe, be loving, and be a blessing. Amen.